Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Rome, if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful July 4th weekend wherever you happen to be. And it is a big three-day weekend. Of course, you know where we were last week. We've been crisscrossing the country, up and down, left and right, and of course, living on airplanes. But today, we're not living on an airplane because get out your maps, boys and girls. We're at 40 degrees, 51 minutes north, 74 degrees, 0 minutes west. We're actually in New York City on the Hudson River at Pier 88 on board the new Norwegian Epic. And we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You can email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. A couple of news items, of course. The oil continues to spill and unabated, getting worse and worse. However, do your homework. Get out a map, speaking of maps, and realize that there are a lot of areas that are not affected, that are only being affected by the worst four-letter word that starts with F, and that's fear. People need to understand, when you get a map out, you'll realize there are a lot of areas in Florida, in Alabama, in Louisiana, in Mississippi that are not affected, that are open for business, that are great deals, that are great values, and you need to go down there, not just to support these people, but, you know, you wanted to take a vacation, go. My philosophy is this. If you ever really want to go someplace and have a great time, with great value, with no lines and fabulous service, pick a place that's just had a civil disturbance and a riot, a natural disaster, or a political unrest, and go. They'll be thrilled to see you. They'll be, in fact, ecstatic to see you. You will get great service. You'll get great deals. And most importantly, you'll have the best experience you'll ever have. So check out our website, which is petergreenberg.com. What an amazing name for a website, but that's what it is. For a comprehensive listing of all the different organizations and aid groups that are working in the Gulf that you can get involved in, by the way, when you go down there. It's not just about texting money on your cell phone. It's also about getting personally and actively and physically involved with your smarts and your expertise and your own experience. So check that out. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about the oil spill later in the show because it's a story that's going to be with us for quite some time. Speaking of a story that's going to be with us for quite some time, and if there's ever a reason, you know, you've heard me say there are only two kinds of airline bags, carry on and lost. Well, if there was ever a reason for you to listen to me about what I've done for the last 10 years, which is I don't check any bags when I fly domestically, I FedEx my bags. There are about 16 other services that'll do the same thing, including UPS and 15 other, you know, door-to-door courier services. But listen to this. In the first quarter alone of 2010, the airlines generated $769 million charging you to check bags. Now, let's do the math. If you use FedEx and you use 3 days in advance, and the UPS does the same thing, you can even do FedEx Ground or UPS Ground, for about $10 more than the airlines will charge you to lose your bags, you'll save 2.5 hours of your life, no stress, no schlepping, and when you get to where you're going, guess where your bag is? It's in your room. What a concept. So when you see figures like that, $769 million, that will give you a reason to start saying, maybe there's another way to do it, and I just gave it to you because I've been doing it for the last 10 years. Some other stuff, AAA. I always laugh about AAA because every year, actually they do it four times a year, they make an announcement. Every time they give you figures, they're always suspect because the way they get the figures is crazy. What do they do four times a year? AAA says there'll be fewer Americans on the road this Memorial Day weekend or this Labor Day weekend or this July 4th weekend. This year they're saying a 17% increase. And I always ask them, how did you come up with this? And you know what they say? We counted the number of cars on the road. And I'm going, that is moronic. Did you count the number of people in the cars? That's the key. You know what? The numbers aren't up and the numbers aren't down. The numbers have always been the same. The difference is, it's not a question of whether we're going to travel over a holiday weekend or where we're going to travel or when we're going to travel. You know what it is? It's how we're going to travel. So up until now, the entire Clampett family was jammed into that car with Granny strapped on the roof, and there were fewer cars on the road, but the same number of people. Speaking of that, because it's July 4th weekend, a little housekeeping note. Watch the CBS Sunday Morning Show. That's right, CBS Sunday Morning, this Sunday, July 4th, and you'll see a very special piece that I've done celebrating volunteer firefighters in America. Nothing says July 4th more than the American volunteer firefighters, and if you didn't think that's true, think this. 72% of all firefighters in America are volunteer. How about that? You know who started the volunteer fire service in America? Well, when it was a country, it was started by Benjamin Franklin. But it was actually started by somebody right here in New York before him, Peter Stuyvesant. You know who else was a volunteer firefighter in America? This ought to make you laugh. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, even Aaron Burr before he shot somebody. But bottom line is, it's as American as the country itself. And it's the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. It's your next door neighbor. And to do this show, we went to the heartland of America. We went to a small community called Lafarge, Wisconsin. Population, 760 people. Volunteer fire department, 30 people. And there are over 860 fire departments in the state of Wisconsin. More than 800 of them are volunteer. That should tell you. It's your neighbor. And what was particularly touching and it's just staggering was the notion, the very real notion, that when these guys and women get a fire alarm, there is a 100% chance that they're responding to an alarm of somebody they know. And that is truly the spirit of America's neighbors helping America's neighbors. So if you get a chance, watch CBS Sunday Morning this Sunday on July 4th, if you're not out watching the parades of volunteer fire departments, because that's what happens on July 4th in thousands of cities, mostly towns and villages in this country, as they go out and parade. So bottom line on that, CBS Sunday Morning, July 4th. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of the largest cruise ships ever built, the Norwegian Epic. We're on it right now with Carolyn Spencer Brown, of course, from cruisecritic.com, who always has something to say. Sometimes I agree with her, sometimes I don't, but we always have fun. She's laughing at me right now, but we will talk about that. And then we're going to get, and then we're, as I promised you, we're going to be talking about what's going on in the Gulf, the good, the bad, the ugly, and is there a silver lining there? And some would argue, myself among them, that there is. So when we come back, Carolyn Spencer Brown, editor-in-chief of Cruise Critic, to talk about a ship and something that's near and dear to me, the dreaded solo supplement, the dreaded single supplement, and how this ship might be actually doing something to fix that. More people get basically discriminated against because of that on cruise ships, at hotels. How about the words double occupancy or single supplement? So they're doing something new, and we're going to see if it's going to revolutionize the industry, if the other cruise ships will actually follow their lead. But first, we're going to take a break from the Norwegian Epic here in New York on Pier 88. Back with more Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Norwegian Epic on this July 4th weekend when we come back.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. With RVs starting at just $5,000, taking memorable vacations has never been more affordable. To find out how you can hit the road to adventure, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour on this July 4th weekend. Hope you're having a wonderful time wherever you are. We are on board the Norwegian Epic right here in the Hudson at Pier 88 in New York City, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air. Anytime there's a new cruise ship, I always get excited because I'll do anything to get on a boat. Of course, you don't call it a boat, you call it a ship, but anything that's on the water, I'm on it. And every cruise ship comes out with all sorts of great promotions about new innovations and new services, and whether it's Royal Caribbean or Carnival or NCL, everybody's always excited. And the person who gets the most excited is my next guest. She is the editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com, over 5 million strong, a regular on our show, Carolyn Spencer-Brown. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, Peter. It's great to see you.
Tell me this. I mean, you've been on the ship now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been on very long. I mean, it's a big ship.
It's a really big ship. It's not the biggest ship, but it's a very big ship.
Okay. When you say it's a really big ship, give me some numbers. Wow me.
Well, I'm going to just tell you that it'll take you 14.7 days just to figure out how to get your way around it.
The cruise doesn't last that long.
Well, then you're going to have to come back.
All right. So, you know, every ship, I remember when the QM2 came out, they had all these figures. It was longer than so many freight trains, and it was higher than so many buildings, and that when they built it, I did a story about it, they had to figure out how it was going to get under the Verrazano Narrows Bridge and clear that smokestack by 5 feet based on tides, and they did. You don't want to get that one wrong.
Yeah.
What about the design innovations on the ship that are wow figures for you?
Well, you know, the figures themselves, I think, intimidate people more than they actually excite them. When you hear cruise lines talking about they serve 42 trillion meals in a three-day period, that doesn't really speak to me like you're going to get some kind of great dinner.
Well, no. I've seen some of the people who actually insist on all 42 trillion meals themselves.
Yeah, I've seen them, too, and I don't think that, you know, but that's pretty scary. But I think what's wow about this ship and what's really exciting about the ship are some of the things that the line is doing that's really revolutionary. You know, we heard a lot about Oasis of the Seas last year as being the most revolutionary cruise ship ever built, and at the time it was.
Although I must tell you this, when that ship came out, I had to say that it looked to me to be so large it had a high crime area on board. I mean, it was...
It had a police station on board.
You're kidding.
No, it does. It has like a little, you know, a pokey in there. It has a little...
Do they
pokey.
Call it the pokey?
Well, no, I call it
okay, fine. I'm just checking.
They probably call it the holding cell, but they... No, I mean, that's a small...
No, knowing city. That, knowing Royal Caribbean, they call it the hokey pokey, and then that's what it's
the
all
hokey.
About.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, but you need one. If you got 7,000 people on a ship, that's a small town.
It is. It's a small city.
I mean, it's Mayberry RFD. It's floating.
Yep. Yeah. So I think when you're looking at wows, to me, it's not how many meals you serve or how many, you know, Eiffel Towers you can lie down sideways on your ship. To me, it's what's on the ship that I'm not going to get anywhere else that's going to make me want to come on board. And I think this ship has a couple of wows and a couple of controversial wows.
Okay, let's go to the wows first, then we'll get to the controversial ones.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the ones that are just the regular wows.
Well, we've heard all sorts of things about the entertainment, and that's been sort of the niche and the thing that NCL is trying to promote about this ship is that it has great entertainment. And I got to tell you, it does. It's got the Blue Man Group, which you can only see in places like Vegas and Berlin and New York. It's got something called Cirque Dreams, which is this bizarre burlesque / circus acrobatic show that we just with this man in a red bathtub that I can't get out of my mind.
Let's stop right there.
Yeah, the
bathtub hold on.
Is big. Ladies, it's worth the money. Line up the first day.
Really?
Yeah, he's hot.
Wait a second. Hold on. Wait. Now, did they build the theater just for this show?
They did. They built. It's like a circus tent theater. It's theater in the round and behind you and above you and beside you and on the table, and it's just it's massive. It's completely nuts and so much fun.
So you like that?
I did like that.
I
like
tell.
Nuts and I like fun.
Okay, so that's a pretty good wow.
That's a great wow. And so there are definitely sort of marquee events on this ship that you've heard about that you're going to come on because you hear the Blue Man Group, Cirque Dreams. What I thought was really special about my 5-night cruise in Europe was the small stuff that they didn't tell me about. I thought that the Blues Club was awesome. The Slam Allen, who's the singer, the performer, he just sits on the stage like he's in New Orleans on the front porch, and you're just walking by his home and coming on in. It was just, it was magic. And that was...
Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little elitist, okay? My book is the traditional entertainment on a cruise ship are 5 people singing Hello, Broadway, Hello,
mm-hmm.
and singing every Broadway show tune until you basically want to take a gun and kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Or kill them.
You take everybody out then.
Yeah.
This is different.
Yeah, and I think in the same way that NCL really deconstructed the stuffy tradition of dining on cruise ships. Remember when you were told when
first
you got on board
or second
where
seating.
You're
going to
sit,
it, yeah.
who you're going to sit with? Well, they're doing the same thing with entertainment. So they're telling you there's not one big theater show that with the Broadway thing going on. It's all these little things and big things and things in circus tents and things outside on the screen, and it's really really special. But it's definitely geared to a younger a younger traveler? Younger meaning in the cruise parlance, meaning under 60.
Well, that brings up an experience I had with my own mom, because when my mom turned 80, I wanted to send her on a cruise. You know what she said? I don't want to be on a ship with a lot of old people.
Yeah, that's what that's.
Because she didn't perceive herself as 80, and she actually went on a ship with a lot of people who really were that old, but she was like doing splits and dancing and having a ball.
Yeah, so, yeah. So young at heart. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, 40.
But well, she wasn't doing the rock climbing wall, no, but yeah. But everything else
yeah,
but.
Yeah.
Okay, so we did the regular wows. Now, what's the really controversial wow?
Well, the one I love is the cabin design, and I my hunch is that the wavy. I love innovation. I got to give you any cruise line that tries to do something different, because they all do the same thing, and model after each other. So when NCL came out and said, we're going to make the walls wavy in your cabin, I thought, okay, that's different. It's cool.
What do you mean wavy?
Wavy. They wave.
Well, with enough alcohol, every wall is wavy in your cabin.
Well, they wave double time.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay,
that's just psycho, you know, whatever. But they wave, and it's a softer look, and the bed's around, and the couch wraps around a bubble in the wall. And it's all very different.
It sounds like Austin Powers' cabin.
Kind of like that, with a little touch of a sort of a spa in the 27th century or something like that. But where people are really having a good time on the debate scale is in with the bathrooms. And not only did NCL split the bathroom, so you walk into your cabin, you've got a toilet on one side, a shower on the other side, and a sink in the middle of the room, but the doors to the toilet and the shower are, get this, see-through. That's exciting.
So you got wavy and see-through.
Wavy and see-through. Ooh. See-through doors to the bathroom. So I think, I'm not sure that a lot of people will get the joy of that.
I got it. They have freestyle dining and freestyle dumping.
Oh, that's disgusting. I'm not even
well, come
that.
On.
I'm not, but yeah, kind of.
Kind of?
Kind
of. Okay.
Kinda.
But wait, let's go to the one that I like the best. Single cabins.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
This is a huge deal.
Because that solo supplement, that dreaded single supplement, has been one of the largest, I get more mail and more email. Yeah. And more phone calls from people going, how can I avoid this? Because I'm a single traveler, I want to take a cruise, and I'm getting beaten up.
It's two things. What NCL is doing is, and it's creating lemonade out of lemons, frankly, is they took a concept that they were going to try, which was to attract an easy cruise kind of passenger to a sort of a hostel-like little, not hostile, but hostile, like little community on a ship, and that wasn't really working. So what they did was, the cabins were small enough anyway, and they made them solo cabins. So you don't have to pay for two people to reside by yourself in a cabin. But the other benefit, and the thing I think is equally as brilliant as creating 128 cabins where people don't get stuck with a bill for two, is that they've created this living room concept, and that's like a private bar area, community area, where you can have a little breakfast, you can have some coffee, you can have a cocktail, you can meet people. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing for solo travelers beyond getting past the surcharge is when you go on these big ships, it can be really hard to meet other people and connect with other people. I was on Liberty of the Seas for 8 days, and the only people I spoke to were my bartender and my waiter at dinner. I mean, it was just.
But then you
lovely.
Married the bartender, didn't you?
No, I married the waiter.
Okay.
but sorry, honey. No, I didn't. But anyway, so.
Hey, what happens on the ship stays on the ship.
Yeah. Fortunately, my husband usually travels with me, so he knows what happens. But that's. It was lonely. It wasn't as fun as it could have been, and I think that this is a really brilliant twist to just not offering the cabin.
I guess it remains to be seen in terms of a revenue stream how the cruise lines will be able to price these so they make money and people don't feel they're being hosed.
Yeah, I think people will pay a little bit of a premium because they were used to paying somewhat of a premium.
Well, they were used to paying double.
Yeah, or having to travel, you know, in the middle of hurricane season. But I think that the challenge will be, how can this concept grow beyond just this one ship?
All right, Carolyn Spencer Brown, the editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com, leaving her husband for the bartender as we speak. No?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Absolutely no.
Now,
it's tempting.
Anything else you want to say about a really big wow? What was the biggest wow? The biggest wow?
The biggest wow? Wow, that's a great question. You know, I already mentioned the Blues Club. I love
You know
that.
What? You're saved by the music. You're off the hook. I know. Carolyn Spencer Brown from CruiseCritic.com.
It's great to see you.
Say hi
again.
To the bartender for me.
I will do.
All right. When we come back, a report from the Gulf and the oil spill. What you need to know and what you need to do. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Norwegian Cruise Line Epic right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Norwegian Cruise Line's Epic, berthed temporarily here in New York City on the Manhattan's West Side. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Some of you may remember a special that we did on CNBC almost 2 years ago, A Week in the Life of the Cruise Industry, which actually featured the NCL ship, the Pearl, and which basically is miniature by comparison to this ship. One of the people instrumental in helping us do that show on CNBC is with me right now. He's the chief executive officer for NCL and a good buddy of mine, Kevin Sheehan. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Here's the deal. I mean, how big is big and how big is too big?
Well, I think we've found that this is pretty much the perfect formula. 4,100 passengers seems to be the size that you can do plenty of different things on the ship and keep people really entertained.
I mean, I was just talking to Carolyn Spencer Brown. You heard part of that interview. She was pretty wowed by the different entertainment areas on the ship. In the interest of full disclosure, there's a pub on this ship. And the name of the pub is?
Oceans.
Named after?
Kevin Michael Patrick Sheehan.
Oh, God. And how entertaining is that pub?
That's the center of the ship. It happens to be a really exciting part because it's overlooking the atrium and there's a big giant screen. And when we had some of the World Cup matches, there were more than 1,000 people watching the game right in Oceans.
Hopefully not with those horns. Okay, every ship wants to say, I mean, I want to give you some buzzwords, okay? Sustainable, green, responsible. How green can a ship be?
Well, we put a lot of effort into trying to be cutting edge with all of that, with our waste disposal and our water systems.
Well, you have an entire deck on this ship, which is nothing but waste disposal.
Yes, and you know, even in the cabins, when you walk in the cabin, you put your key card in and the electricity goes on, and when you leave, you take your key card out, the electricity goes off, the air conditioning goes off. If you open your door to the balcony, your air conditioning goes off. So I think we've taking a lot of time.
So basically, you've gotten the air conditioning going off part handled.
Yes.
Okay. But do you have a zero tolerance policy about nothing goes off the side of the ship?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yes.
I mean, because you and I both know in the history of the cruise line business, that was a bad, bad mark on your records. I'm not talking about NCL. I'm talking about the industry itself.
The industry in the past. Yeah, it's a very different industry today than it was back then.
What about purchasing? You say 4,100 people on this ship. So how many cases of Heinekens are we talking about?
There's plenty.
Just in
and
your
we never
pub.
Run out. Yeah.
You
know,
you run out of that, then you have the mutiny.
That's right.
Is there a pokey on this ship?
There is.
You hesitated, but there is.
I would say there is on all the cruise ships. Just, you know, a holding place for unruly people. Hopefully never used, but sometimes.
And that's called freestyle prison.
Freestyle prison.
Okay, there's freestyle dining, freestyle prison.
That's right.
What's the one design innovation on this ship that you thought was going to be really great that now you're looking at and going, I'm not so sure, or the one that you were not so sure about that you're saying, wow, is this cool?
Yeah. No, I think there's so many innovations on it. You touched on the entertainment, the fact that we've got not only the Blue Man Group, Cirque Dreams and Dinner, we've got Howl at the Moon, we've got Nickelodeon, we've got Second City.
Nickelodeon. So between Blue Man Group and Nickelodeon, someone's getting slimed.
That's true. And as you know, Andy Stewart, his family, and he got slimed very recently.
A video that you'll be playing over and over again.
Picnics, yes.
What about pricing? I mean, is there too much capacity?
You know,
I'm talking about industry now.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I joined the company 2 years ago and hadn't been in the cruise industry and came in with the equity investments by Apollo and Texas Pacific Group. And, you know, as a learning, I went back and looked at the industry over the last 15 years. And over time, there had been periods of a lot of capacity growth. And surprisingly, when there was a lot of capacity growth, there was also a lot of strong pricing that would follow that. Because what it did and what it's done with the Oasis and the Epic, it brings a lot of people people into cruising that otherwise hadn't looked at it.
There's a curiosity factor.
There's a huge curiosity factor, yes.
But in the same at the same time, when you've got to fill this ship, that's probably going to get filled because people are curious about this ship, or as they are with Oasis of the Seas. But what happens to your other ships? Are you cannibalizing your passenger base to do that?
No, that's a great point also, and that's something I've been watching since we first put the Epic on sale, and I've broken it down into different pockets, and every one of our ships is significantly, our first quarter, as an example, before the Epic was launched, was up 5.7% pricing year over year, leading
the
industry
by far. And yet, you had nowhere to go but up with pricing.
Yeah, but if you look at the other players in the industry, they were up 1% and 2%. We were up 5.7%. So we are gaining momentum as people see the Freestyle product and the freedom and flexibility that it affords the consumer, which is huge.
However, would you still argue it's still a buyer's market?
It's a buyer's market.
I mean, I'm still seeing prices in the Western Caribbean for 7-day cruises at $266.
Yeah, I think we're in a better place than we were a year ago, and I think we've got better disciplined revenue management systems, and our booking curves are further out, which is a healthier way of booking the ship.
And of course, if truth be told, the reason why your pricing is up 5% is because of what you're charging at Oceans.
No, that's on top of that.
All right.
Actually, Oceans is complimentary for all of the meals. 11 of our restaurants are complimentary, so that's important.
All right, Kevin Sheehan, the Chief Executive Officer, not of NCL, but of Oceans Pub, on this ship, the Epic. Kevin, thanks for joining me. And when we come back, a report from the Gulf, the good, the bad, the ugly, what you need to know. Back with more from the Norwegian Epic right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It is 43 minutes after the hour on the Norwegian Epic right here in Manhattan on Pier 88. Peter Greenberg here with you, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. You know, we were doing the show from Gulf Shores, Alabama, talking about the impact there, which is considerable and growing. And my next guest, who's been monitoring this situation since the beginning in April, is the Senior Director of the Center for Rivers and Deltas for the Environmental Defense Fund. His name, Paul Harrison. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you, Peter?
I'm all right. So, I guess the question is, you're up close and personal with this. Your guys are on the ground and on the water there. I was down there as well. There are always conflicting reports as to what's being affected, what isn't being affected, because it's what you see versus what you don't see. What are you hearing right now?
Well, Peter, one of the things is that obviously this oil disaster, this blowout, is happening about a mile under the surface of the ocean. We've never had a deep water blowout of anywhere near this size. This thing is many times the size of the Exxon Valdez right now. And in an environment like the Gulf of Mexico. So the impacts on the fish, the birds, the creatures that feed the fish and the birds, it's going to take years to really understand the real impacts on the Gulf of Mexico, on the Louisiana wetlands, on the beaches of Alabama and Florida, and on the fish and the resources that everybody relies upon. So, this thing is still going on. The oil is still coming out of the well.
Well, then the question I have to ask, and we would ask this question after Haiti or after Chile or Western China and those natural disasters, people listening to the show, how can they get involved? Because when we tried to put together a comprehensive list of how to volunteer and go down and help, almost every resource that we came up with was directly related to British Petroleum. It was interesting. BP was controlling who could help and who couldn't.
Well, there are environmental groups down there and other folks who, like the National Audubon Society, the National Wildlife Federation, friends, the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana, who are working very closely with volunteers. One of the hardest challenges here is that this is an industrial disaster. It's not really an environmental disaster, and it's still going on. So the opportunities
and it's also
volunteerism have been less than folks have hoped for.
And it's also an economic disaster that goes way beyond travel and tourism. I mean, I was talking with the governor of Alabama who said to me, we have a real problem that nobody even knows about, that almost all of our tax base that supports our school system is tied to hotel occupancy taxes. And if nobody's in the hotels, we can't open our schools.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, the impact on tourism across the Gulf, the people aren't going down. Obviously, the charter boats are not able to go out and do the fishing. Almost a third of the Gulf of Mexico right now is closed to fishing. Those impacts will ripple through this economy, and then obviously there's the impacts on folks who were actually working in the oil industry. But you know, I mean, some of the rural communities, these fishing-based communities that have really been shut down by this, these are also folks who were still recovering from Katrina and Rita and Gustav and Ike, and the impacts on the economy from what happens to those communities is going to be sharp, particularly in those places, you know, places where people do go out and hunt and fish and are used to experiencing that rural culture.
And then not only that, I mean, you know, there's a $20 billion fund apparently set up for claims, but when you start seeing where the claims are coming from, then you understand the global reach of this. When there are companies in Canada making claims because they can't get their supplies sold to people in Alabama who are not buying them.
No, that's exactly right. And one of the interesting things is that we've started seeing celebrity chefs and the restaurant industry really perking up and understanding the impact on them, but also hopefully starting to defend some of their suppliers as well.
Exactly. So go to our website. We do have a list of all the different organizations and relief workers that you can get involved with, as opposed to just, you know, texting money to the American Red Cross. Nothing wrong with that, but that's a different kind of disaster, including the Environmental Defense Fund. The website of that, of course, is edf.org. Get involved. This is not going to go away. And, you know, it's the same thing with Haiti. It may not be on the front page tomorrow, but it stays on our front page, because in Haiti, you've got a 10-year rebuilding problem that's going to span a generation. And based on what you're telling me, Paul, we may have the same situation here.
I think that's absolutely right. And the stress is on the Gulf environment, too. You know, we've been losing coastal wetlands in Louisiana for almost a century now, in part because of the oil and gas infrastructure there, but also in part because of the way we manage the Mississippi River and in hurricanes, and people are impacted.
Exactly.
After it.
Paul Harrison again from the Environmental Defense Fund. That's www.edf.org. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
When we come
so
back,
much.
More from the Norwegian epic afloat here in the Hudson. Back with more right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour from the Norwegian Epic here in Manhattan on Pier 88, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. Let's go right to the phones. We've got Gina on the phone. Hey.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Gina.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you today?
Well, my family and I want to take a trip to Hawaii, and I was going to book it online through one of the websites that I've seen advertised on a travel newsletter I get. And before I hit click to buy, a friend had suggested I go to a review website to check out any reviews. And there were a couple of really bad reviews in that people got...
Which review website did you go to?
TripAdvisor.com.
Oh, they're great.
Okay. Well, they had a lot of good reviews, but there were a couple that were really bad. About this particular travel company. I'm sorry.
And which travel company was this?
It's called beachdestination.com.
All right, so let me ask you a question. You want to go to Hawaii, you want to buy a package deal, which means you want the airfare, the hotel, and maybe in a rental car thrown in, right?
Exactly.
All right, did you try a company called pleasantholidays.com?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, let me tell you something about Pleasant Holidays. Why are you going to Hawaii? You want to be by the beach. You want a cheap airfare. And maybe you want to drive around the island, okay? So you don't really care if the car is a Cadillac. You just want it to have four tires and an engine. And guaranteed, you don't need to have a room right on the beach because you're going to pay a premium for that. And you want to drive around anyway. And, of course, the airfare, you want the cheapest airfare you can get. What I like about Pleasant Holidays is that they block book so many seats on airplanes that's where they do all their discounting because the seat's a very perishable commodity. And I would go with them. Don't worry about the hotel because you're going to have a rental car and then drive to wherever you want to go. You'll have a great time.
Oh, okay. You mean don't worry
about
the hotel in that. Just book any
hotel? Let me ask you a question. They'll show you the hotels. They'll give you choices of hotels to book. But it's almost like being on a cruise ship. I know the cruise ship guys are going to cringe when they hear this. But how much time do you spend in your cabin on a cruise ship? You're there to sleep and shower.
Yeah.
People book cruise ship cabins thinking they're going to entertain the entire state of Rhode Island in their cabin. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes on some cruise ships, you need a spatula just to get in the cabin. So the bottom line is the same thing applies to hotels in Hawaii. You're there to shower and sleep, and the rest of the time, get out, go to the beach, see the island, drive around.
Okay. Perfect.
Right? I mean, do you really need a balcony in a hotel when you can just walk out and see the ocean?
Exactly.
There you go. Now, by the way, don't become a prisoner of unrealistic expectations either. Meaning, you know, ocean view doesn't necessarily mean you have to bring binoculars.
Yeah.
You know, there's ocean view or partial ocean view. Or here's the one that the brochure really gets me on a lot of these things: steps from the beach.
Yeah.
You know what? Last time I was in Hawaii, I saw a brochure at a hotel that said steps on the beach. I counted. It was 7/8 of a mile.
Yeah.
So they were technically correct. There were steps to the beach. There were a whole lot of them. So you know what? Be realistic about what you want to accomplish and experience on your vacation. The key right now is airfare to Hawaii because there's a lot of capacity cuts on those routes, which means the airfares are going up. So if you can get a great deal on the airfare, and it's one of these package deals from companies like Pleasant, grab it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Sarah in Chicago. Sarah, are you there?
I am here. You can help me.
How can I help you?
I am a disabled person. I'm in my early 80s, and I am planning a trip with my adult son in December. We are going to Athens, and then we're going to Lebanon, and we're also going to Cyprus and then Israel. And I have a company called...
You know what? My hat is off. My hat is off to you. That's a great itinerary.
Well, I travel with I rent a wheelchair, and I take my own walker. Now, my problem is, since I do on the Internet, I cannot find a hotel in Beirut that might, you know... I know there's no ADA there, but is there such a thing?
No, there's no ADA there, but I'm going to help you. Yes, there is.
Bars in the bathroom? Or a roll-in shower?
Yes, there is. And I'm going to... Sarah, there is. I'll give you the website for that. It's called whenwetravel.com. It's one word. Whenwetravel.com.
Whenwetravel.
It's like the word.
Okay.
Whenwetravel.com. It lists
okay.
all the hotels. That's right. It lists all the hotels in the Middle East that actually accommodates wheelchairs and people with physical disabilities. Check that out, okay? We really appreciate that.
I certainly will. And... put some more emphasis
all right,
on, of course, us elderly and the people that are disabled.
I totally agree. 19% of the American public has a physical disability, and not enough people pay attention to it. And the biggest problem with the ADA, people don't know how to enforce it. That's another issue. We'll talk about that maybe on another show. We should do that soon. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your July 4th weekend. For those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming for the Norwegian Epic, the brand new cruise ship, Berth for the Moment, Pier 88, Manhattan. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.